Gateway Buick GMC has the hottest sale of the summer going on now. Take over $13,000 off the GMC Sierra. In the market for a Buick Enclave, Gateway has you covered with premiums over $11,000 off MSRP price. The all-new 2017 Acadia now on the showroom floor, alongside the luxurious Buick Envision. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or in person off I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. Gateway, the right way.
This hour of the Afternoon Drive is brought to you by
Liquid Spirits, a beverage catering company. Find them online at liquidspiritsstl.com.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh. 5:34 here on the Afternoon Drive. Doing a little preview of Triple Threats. You guys will have to, I have a playlist over there that Hoff and Gardner are they're anti my playlist. So if you guys want to add music in, you're going to have to talk to Hoff about what you guys want to throw in. We weren't sure what to throw in for you,
H. Mr. Karaoke over here.
We knew the karaoke. Everybody knows the karaoke when it comes to Howard. But we had said, you know, Guns N' Roses for you, Stully.
I like it.
Yep, yeah, that's what Gardner suggested. But we weren't sure what to throw in there for you, H. I wasn't sure what musical tastes you had.
Well, I'm kind of, you know, since I'm an old man, and I'm kind of a 60s guy. And so,
Jefferson's. Let's see, would that be Airplane, Starship, or what? What do you
I was, you know, that's late '60s.
Oh, you're going to go early '60s.
Oh yeah, I was more the classic '60s, if you will. And you can talk whatever you want, whether it's Motown, whether it's Beach Boys, whether it's there's just a run the gamut.
Well, the Beatles were '64, the Beatles, right? For the British Beatles, invasion. So, are you going before that, or is that kind
not,
of
the not
line
too
of
much before? A little bit before. That's pretty close. A little before that. But you know, the one song that we need to play, of course, is whenever I'm on Sirius, they always play this at one time during the show. Is the great song by AC/DC of "We've Got Big Balls."
Okay,
have you heard that song?
The late Balls Mahoney, rest in peace.
It's a great song.
Gardner killed him. Just like he did with Merle Haggard.
He killed Balls Mahoney?
Yeah, Gardner killed Balls Mahoney. You see, Hoff has no clue who Balls Mahoney is, but you mention his name,
and
Hoff is well aware that Gardner is responsible for his death.
Well, you got to fill me in on this.
Well, they do. There's a show on before that will be on before us called The Writer's Block.
Yes.
They do a birthday game where they go celebrity birthdays and they try to guess. Hoffman tries to guess the age of the people. And the very first day they did it, they had Merle Haggard on there.
Yeah.
And then the following day, Merle Haggard died.
Oh.
So they
Balls was on there one day.
Balls was on there and then died the very next day.
Well, the thing with Merle is Gardner actually had the wrong day. So
yeah, because I thought he died on his birthday, didn't he? Yeah, I thought so.
He realized his mistake, and then he turned to me and he went, and this is off the air in our back room, and he said, I really hope someone's birthday who I mistakenly wish today doesn't die by tomorrow. And then,
and he did.
20 minutes before their show starts the following day,
It's
released that Merle Haggard had passed away.
So you don't want Gardner to tell you happy birthday, basically.
Yeah, especially not a day early.
Yeah. Whew, okay.
Yeah.
Just going to avoid him like the entire month.
So yeah, he is responsible for the for two deaths.
But yes, very, very familiar. And by the way, you said the AC/DC song, like they only have one.
Well, true. Yeah, I was just referring to
that. I also enjoy that he said maybe you've heard it before. Like nobody, like we,
like we can go up and down the AC/DC canon.
Sure,
that would be fine.
Sure,
we could use quite a bit of that. That would be all. Yes, any of that returns.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that was the only one.
Yes, but no, we are familiar with that tune.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's fun. It's a funny song.
Engine Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man, who's a sponsor of this program, he goes by the name of Kevin Miller of Realty Executives of St. Louis. He texts and he said, "I heard Gardner told Sonny Bono to go skiing that one day."
Ooh, man! Oh, come on, man!
Too soon?
What is that? Is that not
come
a program?
Come on, man!
Is that not the type of comedy that we're shooting for on this program? Do I need to learn that now? Okay.
Well, I didn't know we were going to be funny. Now the pressure's on. <That's...
laughs> come on. I mean, 10 hours. By the way, yeah, Howard is the only one here that really doesn't have to change his schedule at all. for this. You're on from one to three now, hour, and you're just
just push it back an hour. Push
you're just pushing
forward
back.
An hour.
You keep going to the same location every day.
That's right.
You don't have to figure out
for a few months.
Yeah. So you're the only one. Everything just stays the norm.
And you only have to move back an hour, although you have 1 hour less, but you're only reversing an hour, so it's not too bad.
The time from driving from Belleville to St. Charles will catch up, though.
Yeah, that'll knock you down. I drove to Belleville for quite a while.
What was in Belleville?
Yeah, one of the stations I was at.
See, recently? He talked about the amount of shows.
I didn't know you were on that. I didn't know you were on that with that station.
You didn't?
No.
That was part of the problem.
I didn't know that you went over to the Belleville stations.
How did you not know? I left the show that I was on with you to go there.
I thought you went to 1380.
No, there was no
1380.
There wasn't 1380 then.
I thought they already dropped
then
the woman.
Was still 1380 then was still the woman.
Oh, I thought they dropped that already and went to like the X or whatever, and you went on there.
Well,
to
I wouldn't
do a sports
go. I
show.
Wouldn't have been on the X either.
Howard Balzer, like he's never been seen before.
I had thought that you went there and you started doing the sports over there.
No.
Oh, okay.
Go so you like really... Dr. Johnny Fever, let the hair grow, put on
yeah,
the shades,
exactly.
And go extreme.
A little WKRP.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. So, no, I apologize for that.
That's all right.
Stop jumping around so much. You've been at 590, though, for a good run this time around.
I have been, or I hope
I
to be.
I know you say you have been so far, and now you're...
Well, it's only been since April. No, is it? What has it been?
That's
no,
an
it's
eternity
just,
in our...
No, I guess it's been November.
There
it's
you
been,
go.
It was November when we became when 590.
See, you
came
can already
back.
See the year. Well, I'm counting 1380 on that too. It's
oh, you count 1380. Okay.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. So it's been since April of May, June, July, August, September. So yeah, about a year and 5 months. Yeah, that's an eternity for me.
The Cardinals tonight. They have the Brewers. We'll jump into that before we get out of here. But I did want to get both of your thoughts on Colin Kaepernick. Now you have. Rodney Harrison has come out, and what we're seeing a lot of are people that have these piping hot takes on the situation or comments that they have on what's going on, but there's no substance to them. Like Colin Kaepernick gives his reason for why, or he at least tries to explain why he's not standing up for the national anthem, but behind it there was no real substance to what his reasons were. It was just kind of vague, you know, liners that he was throwing out there. And now you have Rodney Harrison, who's also kind of throwing out his opinion to that.
I will say this for Kaepernick, though, because, one, personally, I would not do that. I stand when we're to games, whatever, stop to me. That's the proper, respectful way to handle the national anthem, is you stand and I also put my hand over my heart. It drives me nuts when people don't do that. Personal thing. But so when Kaepernick initially, I was like, oh, I hope he realizes what he has done. He's put himself out there now. Where are you doing this for a photo op? Are you doing this because you're actually trying to make a difference with something? And I do think he fell a little bit short with some of his answers yesterday or 2 days ago. But the fact that he sat for 20 minutes and discussed it and shared that he had had conversations with teammates and everything led me to believe that this is more than just a photo op. This is more than a few Rams running on the field, putting their hands up, and then not doing a thing in our community to help make a difference before they left. Whereas other people, like Aeneas Williams, who I cited last night, doesn't do anything for the photo op, but he's out there with his sleeves rolled up, making a difference. So I think Kaepernick is trying to define some of that right now. He mentioned that he's got some projects, some things that are in the works. Well, now he's going to have to make sure they come to fruition, because he's put himself out there that there are some real issues in our country. I think we're naive if we don't admit to them. I thought the way he answered the military, saying that he has family and friends who have fought, he's not trying to disrespect them, but he feels that what they're fighting for isn't being carried out in our country right now. Hey, he's got to take this further now, not by sitting or doing something different, but he needs to take it further off the field with some actions to match this, and then I think it'll really change the perspective of what he's doing.
I agree 100%, and I think the most consistent theme that most have said is that obviously you have the right speak your mind, speak your opinion, and hopefully, like you said, Brian, actually do something about it. The major question is, was this, when you are representing a team in a game, wearing their uniform, Is that the place to do it? And I think that's where I believe he fell short. Because then it's all it's done is brought all this attention to that as opposed to the real message. And now you have everybody commenting on the message and saying, I mean, heck, even Richard Sherman of the Seahawks, who's a pretty outspoken guy, came out and said, hey, I don't disagree with his message. I don't think that was the proper way to express that message. And I don't know if he really thought through what the result was going to be and what the reaction was going to be. And so if you're doing all these things in the community, and all, I do realize, though, that how many of these guys do stuff in the community that hardly anybody knows about, that we don't report on in the media. We know what the local news is all about, and you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And so maybe there's that frustration, too, that you can do some things, but who's really going to know? But, hey, start something. Get all the players involved. All these players should be doing more, especially those who have come from difficult surroundings in their communities, and get back in those communities with the money they're making to make positive change. And so if that sets this dialogue going to that thing, then it could be a positive thing. But I don't know that you had to sit for the national anthem, because bottom line is there are problems, like you said, Brian, but living in this country has given Colin Kaepernick and many others a lot of opportunities that you would not have if it wasn't for that flag and for what this country still, for the most part, stands for. Yeah.
And don't you get, I mean, I know people keep saying, oh, this is going to be a big distraction now. For the last couple of days, maybe for another day or two, I think it will. But after every player has been addressed and said, I don't have a comment, the 49ers are going to be concentrating on football. It's not going to be a distraction within that locker room here, probably even by today. It's like old news for them. They're focused on their next opponent. Hopefully, though, the conversations and the positive can spin outside of that now, and that's where, yeah, Kaepernick could have gone about and done some things without having to sit on the field. So.
The caveat to that is opening. Now, it turns out they play on – if he's still on the 49ers, which there is some question about, and in some ways the 49ers are in a difficult position here because apparently
– now, what does it say?
Well, apparently there are discussions of whether he's even going to be on the team. And if they were to release him now, then there's going to be that faction that says, oh, well, they released him because he spoke out.
So if he knew that, did he have to act now while he had a platform before it was taken away?
Well, you have to believe. If you believe in yourself, you'll get another platform.
And it is, yeah. But the other too, is anybody going to pick if he does get cut?
Right.
Like you said, it's a distraction. And even though it might be a couple days as media makes their way around the locker room asking every player's thoughts, does the coach want to bring that in?
And the reaction of the community. But here's the thing. The opening Sunday of the season is 9/11. And so I don't know if on Monday night when the 49ers play their – first game of the season, whether the teams playing Monday are going to have anything related to 9/11 that everybody's probably going to do the day before.
They should, yeah.
But if they do, do you want to call attention to the fact that you're doing this and then one of your players is going to – that becomes the story, that one of your players isn't going to stand for the national anthem on a day where you're remembering this horrific day in American history. So –
yeah, so that's he's done his press conferences. He's talked about it, and now I guess you sit and you wait and see if he even makes the roster when the cuts come. Has anybody surprised you yet that's gotten cut so far?
Oh, there's a few that in this first cut. Normally, there's not a lot of surprise, but there have been a few that you kind of raise your eyebrows and you go, oh, because you had heard some, like Minnesota in the midst of all with Bridgewater today cut their center who'd started for a long time, John Sullivan, a pretty darn good player. So that one, although that had kind of been, hey, he might be on the bubble and he didn't play last year because of injury. So that one was a little surprising. I mean, Cleveland, which is always a team that you say, gosh, what are these guys up to? They cut one of the best punters. And they didn't cut him. They traded him. Andy Lee, they traded him, which was kind of strange. He's one of the best in the league, and now they're just picking up a guy off the street to punt for them. So, you know, there's a few, but usually most of the surprises will come down towards this Saturday when everybody gets down to 53 players.
That's Howard Balzer. Brian Stahl also along. It is doing a little preview here of the Triple Threat show that we will be starting up on Thursday on 590 from 2 to 4. So we leave here today talking a little Cardinal baseball as they get set for the second game of their three-game set up in Milwaukee. Stelly, Hoff and I were talking about it earlier, about what we want to see out of Adam Wainwright, about what I would be happy with. And I said into the fourth inning without any runs being scored would be a beautiful thing to see. Not even, you know, if he allows some in the fifth, sixth inning, whatever, and starts to struggle there, but at least being in that fourth inning with no runs being scored, it's been a long time since we've seen that. I think I'm going to say the complete game shutout against Miami would have been the last one.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're going with that. I think what I'm going to be looking for tonight is, does Adam Wainwright have swing and miss stuff? And the balls that are being hit, are they being hit hard where guys are sitting on particular pitches and really driving it? Or are we seeing some broken bats or some weak hits? And, you know, this team has had so many different ways that they've allowed runs this year. I almost think it's unfair to say, oh, yeah, the pitcher can't allow any runs before the fourth inning, because things have happened that have not been under his control. So, again, I'm looking for, one, his body language, how he's reacting to his stuff, how the hitters are, you know, is it swing and miss? Is Uncle Charlie working there? Is it dropping off the table? Is he getting his location in terms of inside out? And, again, then how are they hitting? Are they sitting back like, not that they know what's coming, that he's tipping, but are they really able to sit on whatever their approach is and drive the ball? That's what I'm looking forward to out of Adam Wainwright, that he's back. Because, again, the velo was there this last night. He was hitting 93, and he had shared earlier in the year his struggles. Part of it was in part his calf muscle wasn't built up all the way that it needed to be. And it was strange because he was talking about his vertical leap, and you're like, well, what does that have to do with pitching? But he shared with us one day that and I'm just throwing out like basically a random number right now, that a normal baseball player, a normal pitcher, is going to have like a 16 in terms of measurement on each calf when they're doing the vertical jump. Well, his initially, I think, was like 8. So part of it was his calf, his left leg was not strong enough to hold his body in position, and that was throwing his arm slot off. So they started incorporating, this rapid jump rope and everything, and he had built it up, I think he had said, to like 13. He was real close to within range. And that had made a difference, and that's when we saw Adam Wainwright start to pitch well again. This go-round, you know, point blank, Mike Matheny said this is not a physical sort of issue, which normally when there is a physical issue, he'll step around it, so to speak, not give a direct answer. This time, point blank said there is nothing physical. Again, Wainwright, the velocity was there. So the fact that he was at a loss, as he was after the last outing, again, I had never seen him like that. He was up bright and early the next day. Well, actually, he shared, because he had his fantasy football draft the next day. And I asked him when he prepped for it. He said, well, you know, believe it or not, I had a hard time sleeping last night. And so from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. is when he finished off his prep for his fantasy football draft. But he was back to smiles, and again, the way he went about his work this week. Big start for Adam Wainwright tonight.
How much? I mean, I know it's hard to measure probably, but after everything he's experienced and all that, here we are coming down the home stretch of the season. How much do you think just the grind of a long season?
August.
Huh?
Yeah, the fact that it's August.
Yeah, the grind of a long season is maybe catching up a little as he's come back from the injury.
Maybe a little, but again, this has been a bigger sample size now. The fact that it's been the entire month where he hasn't quite been himself, and he had gotten back into, you know, where he was Adam Wainwright. He had battled through, and, when he hit the 10 wins before the All-Star break, he talked about that was big for him and really thought the second half, you know, I mean, Adam Wainwright's a bulldog. We've seen it before. He takes it and he goes, and he's able to pitch through a lot of things and is able to deal with it. For whatever this has been, it's just been off a little bit. So I know there's something to it, but it's not anything that he's unfamiliar with in terms of it being August.
I guess you just wonder if it's catching up. We'll find
Father
out.
Time period?
Well, just generally for this season. I guess we'll probably find out in the next month if that's the case. If he reverses it, then we'll say, okay, fine, he was able to reverse it. If not, then you just wonder if it's just a product of a tough position to play, obviously, consistently. But like you said, at his age and coming back from what he's coming back from when he thought it was going good. Sometimes you know, you see that with teams or whatever, even in games. All of a sudden you fight so hard to get to a certain point, and then all of a sudden it pulls back and you can't maintain it for whatever reason. And with players, with teams, and a lot of those things, you just wonder if that's the case. You hope it's not, but you just wonder.
On Thursday's show, the debut show, we will be doing that from the kitchen sink. This show will be at Bomber O'Brien's tomorrow from 3 to 6. So come out and join us there. But on Thursday, we will be at the kitchen sink stall.
Which location would that be?
They only have one location now. They are only down to the one location. Yeah, they closed the one on Union. To just focus on that, Anthony, the owner at the kitchen sink.
So they're just downtown now?
They're just downtown at 6 and Lucas. He's told me a few different ideas of second, third restaurants that he plans to open up in the St. Louis area, but they are just now down to the one huge location at 6 and Lucas. Wait till you guys see the size
of the place
down there. Now, you have eaten. You ate at the one at Union, you said?
Yeah,
you
I ate the one on before. Union. It was delicious. And I've walked by the one on the way to the Dome many times there.
And H, you have just been eating the food they've brought to you, the wings that they've brought to you. You've never actually had any of the
other
cuisine.
How did I know you had wings?
Yeah.
How did I know that it was wings?
But that's because they brought them. But I never have sampled the menu, so I definitely am looking forward to that.
They debuted last week the Hot Rod Burger. That they are going to be. That's the
honor and Roddy Piper, the late great Roddy Piper. How about that? I love that.
They are. They said that they told me they could not sell it for $5.90. So that was something they said they couldn't do. But they're going to debut a $5.90 menu coming up here soon for us. So I'm not sure what's on that yet, and I'm not sure when the Hot Rod Burger is going to be for sale. But it's only going to be for sale during certain hours. I think during happy hour for that, but it was.
Well, I would imagine it'd be available Thursday. Yeah,
it was two quarter-pound burgers with jalapeno bacon, jalapeno aioli, pepper jack cheese, all on that. It was it was spicy.
Well, I guess I guess the 590 menu should have a Stully something on there and an H bomb and whatever we can come up with.
You have to talk. I thought I was going to get a burger for $5.90, and apparently that was not within the price.
Well, with
point.
All that stuff on it, yeah, they can't give it away.
So he just looked at me. And goes, no, that can't be done. So that's where we will be doing the show from 2 to 4 on Thursday down at the kitchen sink at 6 and Lucas. So make sure to. Tune in for that. Make sure to have the dials set over to 590 and make sure you are ready for Thursday's debut of Inside STL coming to 590. Guys, it was a lot of fun 1 hour. We'll do it for two on Thursday's show.
You've been warned.
What do you have coming up, Stel?
Actually, going to talk to the UFC flyweight champion of the world, Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse.
So, yeah.
Mighty Mouse is coming on. And actually, H, a guy that I think, well, I'm sure you probably know, Ben Newtek is going to be dialing in.
Oh, really?
Towards the end of the program, yeah.
So. Oh, okay, because I lined him up for our show for next week.
That's fine.
We could just double dip. I already had it lined up, too.
So. Oh, okay. Have you read the book?
Time a week later.
Did you read the book?
I've read most of it.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of reading it now.
You tear up.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yes.
I mean, I'll be honest, I did. Yeah. Lump in the throat, teared up, reading it like 3 pages in. It was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was just the prologue.
And you will have him on, you said, next Tuesday?
Actually, I had to change it to Wednesday.
Okay. Cool. So, yeah, Ben Utek, former tight end. Was it Colts and Bengals?
Colts, and then, the Bengals is where he finished his career. So.
All right. Well, that's
heck of a singer, too.
That's going to wrap it up for us here on the Afternoon Drive. Wrap up the Liquid Spirits 5 o'clock hour as well. Again, we'll be at Bomber O'Brien's from 3 to 6 tomorrow for the final episode of the Afternoon Drive. So for Dan running the board, Brian Hoffman, our producer, along with Howard Balzer and Brian Stahl. I am Joe Roderick. This has been the Afternoon Drive. CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.